Well, have you noticed my holiday haircut? It's so awesome, isn't it? I did that myself. It's just been good this morning just to sit in the presence of God and allow him to minister to our heart and our spirit and just take note of what he's saying to us. It's one of our mantras, isn't it? What we say that we expect God to meet with us when we gather together. And this morning, the songs that we've been singing have been focusing around truth, have been focusing about our heart and opening the eyes of our heart, because that's really important for us, that we have our eyes opened, our spiritual eyes, so that we can see truth. And one of the songs, I did take a photograph of it, "I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you, O Lord, and I will not be shaken." And I think we all go through circumstances, and we've got to have that in our heart, that I will not be shaken because I'm going to put my trust in you. And I just want to talk a little bit about truth this morning, the truth of who God is, the truth of what he wants to do in our lives, and the truth of what that does for us. It says in Scripture that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So if you're feeling in bondage this morning, you need to know some truth, because God says it will set us free. John 14 verse 6 says this: Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And John 16 says this: "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." And we need to know the truth about God. Jesus is saying, "I'm the way, I am the truth." And we'll touch on that a little bit later on. But truth is a fundamental value of life, isn't it? The opposite of that is true, is deceit or lies. And our world is endeavouring to live in truth. It's very, very difficult sometimes to live in truth. And that's why we have some of the issues that we face, both, I suppose, personally and as a nations, because we are not living in truth. We're not understanding truth. But our relationships with each other are based on truth. And without it, relationships and society would crumble. Truth is important in every area of life. And I'm sure we've all experienced a time when somebody has lied to us, when we have been deceived. And that leaves you with such an empty feeling. It's not a good place to be. And it can be devastating in our lives. So truth is really important. Those of us who have children, or who are involved with children in any way, will know that often it's a question we ask, aren't we? Is that the truth? Are you telling the truth? Two little boys in my car the other day, and they were falling out with each other and calling each other names, as they do. And one of them said, "Stick your tongue out." He said, "It's blue. That's a lie." Now, I don't know whether we need to do that every time we tell a lie, to ask somebody to stick the tongue out, but in their mind it was, "You're telling me a lie because your tongue's gone, it hasn't gone blue," obviously. But that's how they understood truth, how important it was, and the things that they were saying to each other weren't true. And when we find truth, we have to trust or believe in it, what we see before us. And that's how we live our daily lives, isn't it? We trust people, we know truth, we trust people, and we base our relationships and our life around what we've been told. And what we do with truth is really important. Because sometimes we can have truth, but we don't believe it. Have you ever been in that place where somebody's told you the truth and you kind of go, "I'm not sure whether that's true or not"? And I've talked to a number of people who've gone to the doctor with illnesses and he said, "There's nothing wrong with you." And they come back and they go, "He's wrong. The doctor's wrong because I am ill and he's telling me there's nothing wrong with me." And they continue to believe that they are ill, and therefore that impacts the way they live. Whereas if they believe what the doctor had said, what does truth do? It sets us free. And so we've got to learn what is true and how we put that into our lives, how we put our trust in the truth that we are hearing. And the truth we want to talk about this morning is the truth about God. Is what he is saying true? Can it be trusted? And what does that mean for us in terms of living? So the Apostle Paul recognized that truth about God can be a mystery, and he called it a mystery a number of times. And when we're talking about a mystery, we're not talking about something that's a bit weirdy. You know what I mean? He's talking about something that's quite difficult to understand. It's a mystery. And God can be a mystery to us because we don't understand everything about him. And in Ephesians, he writes this: surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. Then later on in Ephesians, he says this: pray for me also that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, so I will be fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And in Colossians, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages of generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. So there's a recognition that understanding God can be difficult because it is a mystery for us as people. There are many things that are complicated in life. There are many mysteries. And some of them we do understand and some of them they don't understand. But over generations, many mysteries have been worked out. And if we think about some of the great thinkers, some of the great scientists, they've opened up the mystery of the universe in many cases. So we can think about Einstein and Galileo, Isaac Newton, Da Vinci, more recently Stephen Hawking. You know, people who have taken some of the difficult things that we can't understand and helped us to understand them. But the mystery of God and his existence is something that is much more difficult for us to understand as human beings. And most of us will have a different view and understanding of God. As believers, we understand who God is because we read his word and we put our trust in that. But for people who haven't yet come to that point in faith, God is very mysterious. They can't understand him. Many people don't believe in him. They won't put their trust in him. And it becomes very complex trying to understand God. And it's a personal journey of discovery as we search for the truth about God. One day, Jesus asked his disciples who people thought he was. Who do people think I am? And it's in Matthew 16. And this is what they said: John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So there was a recognition by people that Jesus was somebody, but they didn't know who he was. And then he said, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? So that was a very personal question to his disciples. Who do you think I am then? And Peter said this great statement: you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said this: flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. In other words, you've not worked that out. It's been a revelation to you. Open the eyes of my heart. It's been revealed to you that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it gives us a little bit of a clue in our walk with him about how we put our trust in who God really is, in the truth about God. And that's why we sang that song this morning, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, because without that working in us, we can struggle to understand some of the principles and some of the values and some of the promises of who God is. We read earlier the scripture that says, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. And this is a statement that is misunderstood by many people. And some of them see it as an exclusive statement, as something that Jesus was saying that was quite offensive, that you can only come to the Father only through me. And it's a bold statement. He was telling us that he is truth, and we can only come to the Father through him. That is, through his death and his resurrection, he made a way for the truth of God to be revealed to us and for us to live with him and him in us. It's through Jesus and his sacrifice that we can actually access all that is true about God. He also said this, didn't he? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So we need God's help to actually find truth. He guides us into truth. His Holy Spirit ministers and reveals to our heart the truth about who God is. And so we need help from God even to understand the fullness of what God and who God is. So truth is a fact that stands up to examination, something that we can trust. So when we think about absolute truths, they stand up to examination, and it's something that we can put our trust in. There are some truths that are fixed, and we would say they're absolute. The laws of nature, science and mathematics that we live with every day, and we just live in them. Sometimes we don't understand them, but they all work. They're absolute truths. I've put here, what goes up must come down. It's true, isn't it? And we can trust that so that when we live our daily lives, we know if we do that, it's going to fall. And it just helps us to understand what truth does. It means we can live by the truth of the gravitational pull of the earth. And when we understand that, we can live with that. As individuals, we're often looking for a different kind of truth. Not just the factual truths. We're looking for something in here. We want to know why we're here, our existence, our purpose. We want to know what our future is. We want to know how we become well, our well-being. These are big truths that I believe only God can begin to reveal to us when he opens the eyes of our heart. Getting to truth can be a complicated journey, and it's a personal experience and can influence what we believe about everything in life. So finding truth is really important. As children, when we're growing up, and everybody grows up differently, we all have truths that we believe are true. Our backgrounds determine very often some of the things that live in our hearts. And some of the children that we've looked after have been told truths that aren't true. And they live by them. They've been told that nobody loves me. That I'm no good. It's okay to tell lies and steal. That adults can't be trusted. And these are the truths that very often we can live in. Because that's what we've been taught. This is true. And some of the truths that we are taught, some of the things that we've picked up are in our childhood and through our adult life are not true. Not when we put the word of God next to them. And that can determine, it really influences how we live our lives because we've believed something that isn't really true. Our family and our peer groups strongly influence our thinking about many things, including the truth of God. I suppose if you grow up in an atheist household, you wouldn't believe in God. You wouldn't have anything to do with God. But that's not the truth. It's not the truth. And finding truth and unraveling it all is a tricky business, particularly the truth of who God is. Our own humanity certainly limits our capacity to identify truth and believe in it. And the Bible gives us a clue why this is the case. It says in Corinthians 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We have an enemy of our soul who seeks to blind us, and he takes every opportunity to do that. And if we go right back to the beginning of the Bible and we read in Genesis about Adam and Eve, we see that Satan tempted Eve. And God told Adam and Eve what they could and what they couldn't do. You can do all this, but you can't eat of that tree. That tree. Don't eat of that fruit. And Satan got alongside Eve and said, did God really say that? And through the conversation, eventually, she capitulated and she took of the tree, took the fruit of the tree. And once Adam and Eve lost sight of the truth, they were doomed to failure. Once they took their eyes off the truth of what God had said, they failed in their relationship with him. The truth about who God is and all that he's planned for each of us is a personal journey that can only be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. This makes it a level playing field because it doesn't matter who you are, what you know, how trained you are, how intelligent you are, it's the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth of who God is to our hearts. We don't have to work it out. We have to accept it. Once the Holy Spirit has revealed the truth of who God is to us, we have to accept that. It says in Scripture as well that ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And I really believe that those that are seeking for truth, those that are seeking who is God, does he really care about me? Is what the Bible's saying true? As we begin to seek God, he begins to open our heart and reveal truth to us. But when that is open to us, when the truth of who God is open to our hearts, we still have to accept or reject it. We have to put our faith in who God is. I know as I was growing up and people used to have to make a decision. Could we call it, have you made a decision to follow Christ? And some people would have their hearts opened and realize the need that they had for God to be in their hearts and in their lives, to come in and make them anew. And they had to make a decision to either go yes or no. And I've talked to people who've said no. God has been revealed to my heart, but I still don't want him. I want to reject him. So we still have a responsibility, even when our hearts are open, to accept or reject what we see. As believers, we are now new creations. Isn't it great that God kind of wipes the slate clean and goes, you're a new creation now. Everything you do will become new. I'm going to remake you. You're going to do amazing things if you allow me to work in your life. And as we begin our journey of faith, we are constantly seeing new truths about God. I don't know about you, but all the time, God is revealing himself to me as I read the word, and I'm going, I've never seen that before. Does God really do that? Yeah, he does. It's in the word of God. But we as believers face a battle. As we aim to live for Christ, as we aim to reach our potential in him, as we endeavor to allow the Holy Spirit to make us more like him, we face a battle. And the Bible will, if you read the scripture, it'll tell you about the battles that we face as believers. The things that God wants to do in our heart and in our lives, but we can be deceived. We can still be deceived. The path to allowing God to bring us to our full potential is to see truth, understand truth, and believe truth. And our challenge as believers is to put our truth in God, in what he's saying. The Bible calls this faith, doesn't it? Putting our faith in God. And we do face circumstances and we sometimes wonder where God is in it all. We wonder the why is this happening to me? What is the solution? I never thought this would be the case. But we've got to read scripture. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to our hearts. And then we've got to put our faith in it. Not be deceived. We've been given armor, haven't we, by God to put on. When we face those battles every day, we've got to be dressed in the armor of God so that we are ready day by day to do battle. If you have ever been deceived about who God is, about what his heart is to you, it may take some time for you to understand that that has happened. And certainly in my life, I've had to change some of my understanding about who God is simply because of my own thoughts about him, my own understanding, and sometimes the teaching that I've received has led me down a particular path with my understanding of God. And I've had to change that because it was wrong. And we can have wrong understanding about who God is in our lives. We have to continually allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and reveal truth to us. So last week, Sue was speaking about condemnation for those of you that were here. So this is just an example of how we can be deceived. Sue was speaking about condemnation. Many of us can be deceived about our status with God and with others. As we reflect on life, we can recognize that some of it hasn't been great. There have been some failures in there. And that brings a feeling of condemnation and guilt. And we battle with that. The truth is, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. If you're feeling condemned this morning, God's word says in Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, that is, if you are born again, you've made that decision to follow him, condemnation has been removed. You are not condemned by God, and you can live in the freedom from all the pain that this brings. The truth is that God clearly stated in his word that you are not in condemnation. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to reveal that to our hearts. If you're feeling condemned this morning, that's the job of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the love of God to your heart. And then what do? We put our faith in it. And then what happens? It sets us free. And we can live in freedom from the condemnation that sometimes we feel. And there are many examples in life where we feel something. We may feel that nobody loves us. We may feel unloved, but God tells us that he loves us. No matter who we are, what we've done, God loves us. We may feel unforgiven, but God is a forgiving God. We may feel unworthy, but when God is living in our hearts, we are worthy. We are worthy. God has done so much for us, but we have to find the truth and put our faith in it and allow that to set us free from some of the untruths that we believe. Sometimes, when we've lived for a long period of time in a particular place, I'm talking about in here now, it becomes our normal, doesn't it? We're used to being who we are, and we're used to living with the things that are going on in our heart. And some of that can be wrong thinking. And what God seeks to do is open the door to set us free from that stuff. You know it's true because it's in the Bible. So we keep talking about the Bible, how it is the word of God, and it's good to learn from it, it's good for teaching, and it's good to apply to our lives. And it's almost like a prison door is open. When we read the word of God, it's like the door has been opened, but we've got to choose to go out of the door. We've got to choose to put our trust in what God is opening up to us. Sometimes it doesn't feel like we're being set free, but we've got to make that decision that we're going to trust what God is saying no matter what. Applying our faith can be a little bit difficult at times because we do it and then nothing feels different. But we've got to move to that door that's been opened. We've got to move to the freedom that God has got for us. We've got to trust in what he's saying and allow him to change our heart and our lives. The truth about God is that he wants to make us new. He wants to set us free from sin and all the guilt and all the condemnation that brings. He wants to do in our lives the impossible things that we can't do. And I've said this before, very often that the hardest thing to change is what's going on inside of our lives, what's going on in our hearts. It's very personal to us. And some of the things that are going on in there, we wonder how they can ever be different. But we've got to look to the Word of God, haven't we? That's where the truth is. And he says in his Word that the things that you can't do, the impossibilities that you face in your life, are possible when I'm in there. So what we see as impossibilities are possible when we begin to put our trust and our faith in the living God. So that's, it's kind of I'm going to talk a little bit more about this because I think it's important. But this morning, make a decision to put your trust in the truth of who God is, to allow him into your heart in a greater way, and to set you free from some of the stuff that you are facing. We have a good God. He is the truth. And when we begin to put our faith in truth, it sets us free. Thank you.